Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you? Good
morning. Luca, good.
Excellent. Nice to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. I apologize. I'm a little bit late this morning. We moved from Florida to Indiana, and I'm just still getting set up here. So
okay, but home. Why did you move?
Well, I'm one of those, they call them snowbirds, I think. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
I move back and forth between Florida and Indiana. In the summer, I come up here. I think it's cooler in Florida, though.
Okay. So you're escaping from the heat of summer from Florida, right?
Yeah, but it's, like I said, it's, you know, we've got 90 plus degrees here, so it's not
wow.
much cooler. Yeah.
Okay.
So, what's on your mind this morning?
What's on my mind? I have actually what's in front of me. I have the folders that I've been working on.
Good.
And also writing notes and some ideas about how to make this work for the team and for the clients, and to do some little adjustments and trying to have this ready to start implementing and sending to clients. Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. And basically, for example, I mean, it's much better, you know, to actually visualize it, to have it to feel it, to have it in front of us, to play a little bit with ease and you know, imagine how it would be the day to day and do that kind of visualization. I think this helps a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
The feeling is nice. And then, for example, on the first, I'm having the blue one, okay, which is the FA folder. And on the first page, I like having the information of the client, client A, client B, and then where it says hobbies, extracurricular activities, and so on. We are trying to include something that we use here. I found here in resources from Morgan Stanley to do the discovery process with clients. It's one page that summarizes four subjects that are usually the things that matter the most for our clients, like people, you know, people that family, friends, colleagues,
yeah.
advisors, mentors, schoolmates, etc. Activities, what they like to do professionally, in community, charity, hobbies, leisure, travel, political, spiritual, etc. Ideas, goals, values, concerns, legacy, challenges, fears, opportunities, and so on. And things, that's the fourth subject, like business, accounts, assets, property, collectible cards, jewelry, art, boats. So I'm trying to take that that sheet and in a way have it here as a way of whenever we talk with a client and we gather some information that is important and we'll fill each of these categories, we will have more information about them. And quality information, you know, things that matters to our client. So that's some idea to work on this same page. Trying, of course, not to make it complex or complicated and to keep it simple. But since the way I see this is having basic information and having a place to write down important things about client, I thought this would be of help. So I have that on page one. And what do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, I think it's great, especially if you like it. I mean, the key is that you like it and you're going to use it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we, you know, we built this by getting you to tell us what you wanted, and then by, you know, lots of you coming up with the best model that everybody kind of agreed to. So this is not Rob Knapp's idea. This is a composite of lots of feedback from lots of financial advisors. So, you know, if something works better for you personally in terms of the order or even substance, then great. You know, let's use it.
Okay.
It's your folder.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep what's, you know, the basic and what's important. But as you say, I feel this that would be of help trying to include it. Then I have the enthusiastically endorsed providers. Sheet of paper. I have that one, and I wrote a note as a reminder for myself to ask to try to touch this subject on each monthly conversation. You know, just for always be, whenever there's the opportunity, always be asking for one of the endorsed providers.
I think that's great. I think it's great, and I think it really will make for an interesting conversation, because I think the client will be always interested in, you know, when they see you doing this, They will then be interested in seeing the composite. You know, what did you come up with? You know,
exactly. Actually, my idea is when I have that first conversation with the client and I hand him the folder, is to explain.
Hi, good morning. Sorry for the late.
Hi, Pablo. Good morning. How are you?
Sorry, I was putting another code. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. We were just starting, and I was commenting, Rob, that I have in front of me the folders, the blue one for myself, the red one for clients, and I'm just going over each single page, and I add some notes, you know, because when you have the folders, you have a better feeling of the work and how they will be helpful with plans and so on, and then some ideas on the way to how to use it and how to present it. Saying to Rob on the first page where we have information about the client trying to have something to capture more relevant, more important information about about the clients, you know, things that the clients like to do, people they relate to, family, friends, colleagues, any other advisors, mentors, whatever, activities they like to do, ideas they have, and things they possess, like real property, real assets, cars, jewelry, art, collectibles, businesses, companies. These are things that, I mean, they would like to talk about. We can gather information, and that information would help us some way, you know, to do a better work, and also to get more leads and to generate ideas. I mean, the more information we have, I think, at the end, the better job we can do. So that was about page one. Page second, I was telling Rob that is the enthusiastically endorsed providers model, and the way I would like to introduce it to plan is to say, hey, this is a long list. The idea is not to fill it out immediately, just to do it step by step, like each monthly call, try to have one or two names that you could add, and the objective, the end game of this is to have like a full list, and this would be an important resource for to share with with all the clients. All the clients will be doing this experiment, and the idea is that everybody could, at the end, at some point, benefit from this information. Would be, and the objective is so we can position ourselves as connectors between clients. And the idea is that each client would, you know, get in touch with us, because at the end they would need, good tennis coach, okay? So they might call Luca, you know, to say, hey, Luca, can you recommend me a good tennis coach for my daughter, for whatever reason? So that would, you know, I think would be good also for us. So basically that's page one, okay? Sorry, Bobby, probably I might be deviating a little bit from the agenda of today's call.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
No,
okay.
We're, you know, part of it's enthusiastically endorsed this, so you're right on.
Okay, right on spot. Okay, thank you. Then page two, this is basically information about doing a performance review, okay? And from this we have, luckily we have in our system that we call 3D here, there's a summary with 1-2 pages that summarizes all this information that we need. So this is going to make it much easier to send to clients. Then also there's a second page on page two it's called Supernova Planning Tool. And this is great. This is amazing. It's it covers many different topics from, operational stuff, like for example, debit cards, credit cards, going to more into details about asset allocation, stocks, bonds, equity, etc., retirement, different issues like liability management, tax planning, education planning, etc. And so this on this we will have to do an important work to adjust it for our business, you know, for what the way we work with our clients. And I thought of doing this more in a collaborative way with the team, first of all, and also with maybe with the accountant, maybe with the trustee of the clients, and any other third party that could add some insight, because this is a way of gathering information of clients and conducting our agenda and having everything done properly. I think this is very important, because it would be like a way of covering many important topics, and also would help us be like more compliant and always making sure that we cover like most important topics of day to day, of the year, of everything, holidays, credit cards, debit, making sure everything is running smoothly. So I wrote some ideas on that regard. Then I will be sharing this with you, Pablo.
Okay. Yeah, for me it's great to listen how you are doing it, so I can translate it to my own clients and to more my place.
Yeah, and then you can also give us feedback, and we can do, of course, this. The idea is we do it together. I'll do it here with Juan Carlos, and then we can talk about it, and you give me also what your thoughts and your ideas. Next on this one is topic of the month. Okay, which this is fascinating, and it relates, it fits perfectly with the concept of the 20-month calendar that Rob introduced, and this is having a calendar for the next 24 months, and basically there are like 24 different topics for each month, and those topics are, for example, At the beginning of the year, the most logical topic would be like an outlook of markets, okay? So here we would have to work on building up the topics that we will be discussing with clients. They're going to be topics that they will be always here, I would say that will be probably like the most important ones, having different conversations. I don't know, conversations about next generation, conversations about having a trust or not, if you have enough protection, about liability management. There are many things about asset allocation. There will be, of course, about politics, about performance of different assets, alternatives. So there are many, many things. We can be creative here and come up with ideas. And also, this is a way of engaging the client and adding something different, some spicy to the sauce, like some spice to the sauce. I mean, something like mm-hmm. not to be always talking about the same, you know.
We could add,
I don't know, some things that are like involved, like artificial intelligence or what's going on in China. So there's always any different idea. So this is something very interesting to work on, something that we also will be doing the same, Pablo. Your insights here will be great. Then there's page 4, introductions given and received. So this will be a follow up to the enthusiastically endorsed model, basically. And then Rob, you can share some light here on the way you see this fit or works, or how you think it we should approach.
Yes, I think this is really much more interesting than it appears. One of the nice things is when you give an introduction, it's really nice to follow up. When someone gives you an introduction, it's very considerate to follow up. There's been some teams that have actually kind of almost celebrated the date and time when they were given an introduction, meaning they go every year, they mm-hmm. thank the client again for the introduction. Mm-hmm. Think about that and the power of that. If in fact, let's say that you were introduced to me, right? Mm-hmm. And the person that introduced you, I would call them every year on the anniversary of that introduction and thank them again for the introduction and how well things were going for us. And I confidentiality would preclude me from saying too much about what had happened in your industry particularly, but you could always say thank you, it is, things are going so well, I just wanted to call and thank you again for the introduction. It's the perfect type of client that I'm looking for, you know.
Okay.
Luca's a great learner, he's intelligent, he's thoughtful, he's really works hard, and it's been a pleasure coaching him. Now think about what that would do
mm-hmm.
in terms of encouraging that person to then make another introduction.
Yeah,
because he'd made two people really happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we think sometimes of introductions as things that are we need to apologize for or something. It should be the opposite. You're making two people happy, and it should be something that's celebrated. So you literally could celebrate these introductions. Plus, it says to the client, I remember that you gave me Luca.
Mm-hmm.
See?
It's a good way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah. I'm writing everything down, okay?
Okay.
On the page, yeah. Then because then I will forget. But it's a great idea.
Yeah, we always think about we want to send people things. You know, we want to send them a set of glasses or a, you know, a bottle of wine or something for an introduction. But, you know, a thank you, a personal thank you note or a personal thank you call a year later really would be more powerful than I think anything you could do.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And you know, in these times that everything is with WhatsApp and so on, doing some old-style thank you note, I think it will generate a great impression to our clients, definitely. I agree.
You know, Luca, I'm so old-fashioned, I keep all the notes I get.
Okay. Really? You do?
Isn't that silly? I know, I do. I got a note from the tennis coach thanking me. I give a scholarship to Wake Forest for tennis, and I got a note from him, and I got a note from my friend at Wake Forest that is the guy in charge of, you know, handling me and helping me at the school. And he sent me a note, and he sent me a picture, and you know, I just keep all that stuff. I put it up. I put it up behind me. You know. I may not keep it forever, but I keep it for quite a while. Whereas, you know, emails are gone, right? In 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and of course they have a different impact. Sending a thank you note and a WhatsApp. Like WhatsApp is something, you know, very, very like instant. You know.
Right.
Like something bigger, you know. Well, probably I'm old school too. A millennial, I don't know if would agree with this, but I like the concept.
I'm not a millennial.
Well, you're old.
I'm in the middle.
In the middle.
I'm more old school than millennial, but yes, it's good to have everything on paper and everything in an agenda. It's comfortable.
Yeah. Then, Rob, on page 4, there's you included also a planning for retirement cash flow analysis, and this is also very, very interesting to have a conversation with clients. So I don't know if any comments on how to use this.
In the end, the one thing that everybody has in common is that at some point they are probably going to stop working. And at that point, their cash flow analysis becomes the one thing that separates them from poverty.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it doesn't matter whether they have, seriously, $1 billion or they have $1 million, managing that cash flow is really important. You know, a wealthy person that spends too much becomes a poor person. So, you must know what you can spend comfortably. And those things change, by the way.
Yeah.
Your income changes. Your liabilities change. You can pay off debts. You can incur more debts.
Yeah.
You know, you can increase your income. You can decrease your income. Mm-hmm. And that is going to vary every single year. Every year.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, people say, well, you know, how often should you redo your financial plan?
Mm-hmm.
In reality, the financial plan can be customized for the person and updated as necessary. But to me, the cash flow analysis should be done every year.
Okay. Okay, perfect. I like this. This is a perfect way of introducing it. Because you're showing the client that you care about him, not for today, but for the next X years, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 years. and you are showing him that he better start paying attention to the way he spends money. Yeah, great, I like it.
And Pablo, I think this is one of those things that is critical for you in terms of managing a person. You know, where you have a fiduciary responsibility to them, and you really need to control their behavior to some degree, and a whole family's behavior. You know,
when we were talking about that, and some client came to my mind that, and as you are saying now, you have to educate them or tell them to stick to the plan, because once in a while they come and say, "Hey, I'm going to withdraw this." Why? Because my wife wants a new car. Hey, this is not the plan. Remember, it's your money. You can do whatever you want, but you're going deviating from the plan and for the long term plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's exactly that, and you know they really don't. They don't, in their mind, I mean, we had one client that started to give money away. She was quite wealthy. But she started to give money away to the point where she was going to run out of money. And we had what we call a come to Jesus meeting with her, where we sat down with her and said, and did the math and showed her that this was going to she did this for 5 more years, she was going to run out of money. So she had to stop. But she was so addicted to giving money away that she really couldn't. We had to fire her. We literally fired her because she wouldn't listen. And what would happen? Let me tell you, if she continued to do what she did, and then her children saw what happened, they could get a lawyer and come back and sue us and win. See? Because, she was crazy, clearly, had gone a little crazy, and we let it happen, see? And we're supposed to be the responsible ones in the relationship. So we're supposed to protect her from herself, both in the investments and in her spending. So we shouldn't take too much risk investing, and we shouldn't let people spend too much. So always remember that. That is your responsibility. And so you have a choice. You have a choice to shut them down in terms of telling them, do not spend anymore. This is your budget. I'm sorry, you can't spend anymore. And allocate it and put it in the checkbook and so forth. That's one way to do it. The other way is to say, if we're going to put you on probation. If you continue to spend like this, we're going to fire you. And then you must follow through and fire them. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And I had, in every office, I had 2 or 3 clients that were doing this, that were overspending their money. Every time. Almost every FA has somebody that's overspending their money. So it's pretty epidemic. Anyway,
Then what else? Page 5 is the client's agenda template. Here there's a question, Rob. It's separated in two, the agenda, the an update or review. The update should be like the shortest one, correct?
Yes.
And I see it has like four topics. Questions and comments from the clients, an update of the client as a second one, third is a monthly topic, and the fourth is a follow up on last month's topic. And usually I get a feeling here, Rob, that whenever some way during the call, the update call, the clients would like to know how they are doing in terms of performance wise, you know. So I thought about like including something very simple, like here today you are, X amount, like, you know, up or down, whatever, and try not to go into detail. If the client asks, say, okay, listen, we'll have the review next month, so we can wait for until then. And then, of course, if the markets are moving and there's something going on, of course, probably we'll modify the agenda and basically we'll be talking about what's happening in the markets.
I agree completely. Yeah, I would be prepared every month to discuss anything, you know, in about. I mean, you don't have to be prepared, you know, to do a complete review, but you need to know, you know, the market is up point. You know, if the market is up 3%, you're up, you know, 2.5%, or you're up 3.5%. Just so, because the clients want to know, how am I doing?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that would be the first thing they probably would ask for. Okay. So well, that's basically all I wanted to comment and get your feedback, Rob, about the blue folder. Okay.
And then the, you know, obviously the place for notes, and you're good at taking notes.
Yes.
Do it all the time.
Full of notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that to me is, you know, then the next month you pull it out, and there is your notes that you took. You review the notes, just like I do. I do the same thing. I'm taking notes. You know, you have your information, we have the agenda for the day, and I take notes, and just so I know that we, you know, I don't have to go back and, you know, I know we used the term gold mine the last time, and on the enthusiastically endorsed list and so forth. So, I mean, it's just helpful so that you can review that and know where the client's mind was. If there was something that he was upset about or concerned about, just make sure, you know, you did your homework and you followed up. And if not, then you better follow up on it now, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's a great way to have continuity. And then the client doesn't feel like you have to have a two-hour review. You know, when it's time for the in-person review, you can be done in 40 minutes. You know, it's not like you're starting from scratch. He knows where he is all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it's a great way of keeping track of those small details that were commented in the call with the client. Because they, of course, we will forget, and we will be doing this with many clients. So, the best way to keep those in mind is to write them down and keeping notes. Yeah, I agree. And client at the end will feel special when he realizes that we keep track of everything that was said during the conversation.
They will feel special due to all the attention to detail that you have on.
Oh,
this.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be amazed. There's nothing cookie cutter about this. I mean, it's a great productivity enhancer in terms of we are very consistent in our process, but it's very customized for the client. So yes, it takes time, but you know, it, when you're dealing with clients of 20 and 30 and 40 and $50 million, they are used to people giving them very good service and very customized. Mm-hmm. And I think up to now, our industry has treated them pretty much cookie cutter and have been just really performance oriented, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. Juan Carlos, anything to comment, to ask? He's sitting right next to me.
I think I'm pretty clear. I've been listening all the time. I'm pretty agree with most of the things. So.
And anything you disagree with?
You're gonna fight about it later.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Juan Carlos. What else, Rob?
Last week we kind of did jump ahead and covered the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Mm-hmm.
A great deal of what we, cover in this study. I think the bank of trust is, that's a comment, that's a concept that I think you completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
But any questions on that?
No. I totally understand the concept, and I always punish myself. This is a psychological thing. When I know I'm, deviating or not, and I can, I'm late for something, or I had to reschedule, or it's like I feel like I'm withdrawing credit from the bank of trust. And I feel uncomfortable and have a tendency to panic myself, and I go home like worried, and then something I shouldn't be doing. But the idea is to do this, to have a process and to be more organized, and to have a lot of credit in the bank of trust, definitely. I mean, at the end, if the more trust we build with our clients, they will feel more comfortable, and they will keep either sending us more money or introducing new clients to us. I get the concept, and it's key in the whole process.
And, I don't know what you do to manage, what I do to manage my weight and to make sure I stay in good physical condition is, I weigh myself every day. Okay. Now people think, well, that's ridiculous, Rob. You shouldn't do that. Well, it's kind of like the bank of trust. I was 3 minutes late today, right? So I felt guilty, right? Mm. So I looked at the scale, and I was 3 pounds overweight. Okay. So the idea isn't that it's, a deal breaker to be 3 minutes late, but it says, Rob, you were 3 pounds overweight today. You better get back on track.
Mm.
Okay. You got to do some things. You got to be prepared earlier so that you're not 3 minutes. So you're not 3 minutes late. Whereas other people becomes a habit of being 3 minutes late or 5 minutes late. It's just what they do, and they don't see anything wrong with it. But every time it's a trust breaker. And if it isn't a really good relationship, it's going to eventually undermine the trust.
Yeah.
So my point is not that you're never going to be late again. Of course you are. The point is that you understand that being late is a threat to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like being 3 pounds over my target weight is a threat to my overall health.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I need to adjust. I need to change my eating, work out a little more, and just be aware that something is going wrong, right? Something has caused that 3 minutes late today, and therefore I need to be better prepared. Which is true. You know, I just needed to prepare earlier today.
Yeah.
So, that's the point, is that you're not, it's not that you're never going to get off track. Of course you are. The question is, how quickly will you get back on track? And that's the difference between a person that stays in shape and a person that gets way off track. Or a person that takes you know, relationships for granted and cheats and risks the relationship, you know, or is late constantly. So it's just it's a good analogy, I think, to what we're trying to do here. And I think, you know, you'll think of that now when you're late. You'll think, okay, it's not the worst thing I ever did, but I've got to prepare better. You know, I need to start earlier so I don't set myself up for that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But just, it's just a practice. It's a habit, right? It's like supernova. It's a series of rituals and habits that are in your best interest. So we want to improve on the habits and rituals that are in our best interest and eliminate the habits and rituals that are not in our best interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good discussion. It's very important.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, and this is something that I would discuss with my children. I think it's a very good. Yeah, I would. I hadn't thought about that. But
yeah.
I think it's a very good topic to raise and give them. Give them a piggy bank and say, this is your piggy bank. And when you do things that are good and you're on time, we put money in. Mm-hmm. When you're late, we take money out. Mm-hmm. We call it the bank of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And just start to explain it to them. And I think that can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. Yeah. I see that I can do at home, definitely.
I just think if you get the language, you know, if the whole family is using the same language, it can be very helpful. Everybody will get it, you know. No, I don't know that it I'm not sure that works for the spouses. They are, being late is kind of in their DNA.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they can't help about it. Oh, yes.
Right. I hope that was a good joke. Not such a joke. It's probably true.
No. I got it.
Anyway. Well, I think that's it for today. If there's anything else, Pablo, anything?
No, for me, I'm working on the photo. It would be good with Luca to share the ideas and compare them. I'm 3 days away of taking my CFA exam, hoping and wishing to have a good luck because it's really
tough.
That's
great. Congratulations.
When is the day, Pablo? Is Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Pablo, does everybody sit at the same time for the CFA exam? Because I've got a gal that's sitting. Yeah.
Exactly.
She's in Chicago.
In the whole world, it's the same day. I think that I don't remember exactly how it works, but in when they start correcting the exam, they add up all the exams in the world, and it's like a... What they do is, on average, they don't correct if you answer, let's say, 50% wrong, but the whole world answered 50% wrong, well, that's the average note, and they start working on that. So if you have a good, it's a good year, and you have a lot of very, very smart people taking the exam, it's going to be a more complicated exam in order to grade it.
Wow. Yeah, my intern, who's now a CPA in Chicago, my former intern, is taking her The second section, she's taking the exam for that Saturday.
Yeah, I'm taking the same one, the second level.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow. She's been studying like a mad woman.
Work.
Yeah, I know.
But well,
I know.
And a bit of luck is also necessary for that.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck.
Thanks.
As they say in the theater, break a leg.
Yeah, break a leg. Well, and for me, I think that I don't have any other questions, but I will. I think next week I will start working with the folders, and Luca, we will exchange some ideas.
Perfect.
Excellent. Great. Excellent. Would love to get the feedback from your perspective how they work. That would be great for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.